Blog Talk Radio.
I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father. I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father. I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father. I love to praise your holy name.
Good evening, good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to another exciting, enlightening, enriching session of Solutions, your favorite radio talk show on love, relationships, and marriage. This is Prophetess Mwaka from Dallas, Texas, where all the good-looking people live, and I trust you are doing well. I trust 2014 has started well for you, and so we just want to welcome those of you joining us for the first time. A warm welcome to you, those who've been with us since we started a year and a half ago. I'm sure you agree with me, it's been exciting, and we thank God for all the many different guests we've had, and they've really just poured in such wisdom. They've all been very real and very relevant, and it's been a wonderful journey. We appreciate your feedback. We do have a page on Solutions, or rather on Facebook. Please like our page, Solutions Radio. And of course, we always want to hear from you. Let us know how this program is helping you, and do spread the word if this program has been a blessing to you. Make sure you tell somebody about it. Well, before we introduce our very exciting and vibrant and dynamic guest, I'm so excited about her, I just want to invite all of you, as we've been inviting you, to our upcoming 10th Annual Spring Prophetic Conference, which is also a celebration of our ministry, Fresh Aroma, for the last 10 years. And it's going to be held here in Dallas, Texas, April the 17th to the 20th at the Sheraton Hotel. Those of you on Facebook, I'm sure you've seen the flyer there. We've flooded the whole of Facebook. Or you can go to our website, fresharomaministry.org. But it is going to be definitely the very best we've ever had. We are going all out. You know, we love to have a good party in the Lord. So it's going to be awesome. We have outstanding, outstanding speakers, anointed psalmists, people coming from all over. And the response has been absolutely phenomenal. And let me emphasize, it is for both men and women. Fresh Aroma Ministry is not just for women. It is for both men and women. It is free, but for the prophetic breakfast, you do have to register. And we want to urge you, please register in advance so that you're not disappointed. It does get full, and because of the caliber of our speakers, it will get full. And we just have an outstanding panel. I'm really excited that we are going to be having Dr. Nervous Mumba from the great nation of Zambia. He's one of our spiritual fathers and just a prolific and a profound man of God, respected both in the kingdom and in the secular. About 4 or 5 years ago, he was our very distinguished vice president. He's also been our ambassador to Canada. So he is just very solid and just such a man of excellence, very eloquent, but very anointed also. God has used him to really change the spiritual climate in our nation. So we are so excited to be having him. We're excited, of course, to be having Prophetess Beverly Angel from our neighboring country, Zimbabwe. And she and her husband, Prophet Hubert Angel, have literally taken Zimbabwe by storm. And feel free to Google any of these speakers and you will know what I'm talking about. And, of course, Prophetess Sarah Morgan from California, powerhouse for Jesus. She's a tremendous friend of ours, and she comes every year, and just it's like a volcano erupting. And, of course, Bishop Eli Jacobs, powerhouse for the Lord, right from here in Dallas, Texas. And yours truly, your favorite couple, Apostle Darius and Prophetess Mwaka, will be there too. So don't miss that. We're having it at the Sheraton. They're giving us a great price of $99 if you want to spend the night at the hotel with free breakfast, a free shuttle. All the information is on our website, fresharomaministry.com, and it's also all over Facebook. So please make sure you prepare yourself to come for a very exciting, life-changing time in the Lord. Before I invite our guests, we here at Solutions also want to extend our condolences to our beloved brother and friend, Pastor Nathan Nkama, who is one of the founders of this Zambia Blog Talk Radio. And many of you know by now that he lost his dear mom this past Sunday in Lusaka. And so the Dallas community and many all over, Pastor Nathan has touched many people, been a blessing to many. And we just want to extend our condolences to him. So we are praying for you, Pastor Nathan, and your dear family. God bless you and God keep you and strengthen you. But we mourn with hope because we know our mom is with the Lord. Well, Apostle and I began this program a year and a half ago, very passionate to see healthy relationships, to see strong marriages. We know that love is from God. A marriage is from God, and yet when you look at the divorce rate in our generation, it's like people have these big weddings and 3 to 6 months later, they're divorced. When we were growing up in the 80s and getting married in the early 90s, I mean, divorce was almost unheard of, but now it's like the order of the day. And so just seeing that, we just have such a great passion to see singles making the right choices and being equipped and, you know, being given the right tools. And we know that we cannot do this great task alone. So for the last year and a half, you know, we've pulled in many of our wonderful friends, people we know very well, who can just pour in and just train and counsel and advise on this program. And everywhere I've traveled to, I meet people who tune into Solutions, and the feedback is very encouraging. It's almost like it's like great counseling, great advice, and you know, and everybody says every person that has been on has been very real and relevant. So we are so happy to be making a difference together with our team of experts, making a difference in people's relationships, marriage and family. Because, you know, if you don't have a good relationship or a good marriage, you can have $1 million in the bank. You're not going to enjoy those millions. You can have 3 PhDs, but if your love life is suffering, that education really doesn't make, you know, you just don't enjoy the fruit of it. So relationships affect us all, and we know that from whatever nation, ethnicity, tribe, background, God has made us with a need to be loved, to be appreciated, to be respected. You know, we all have that as human beings, regardless of whether we are from Indonesia, Malaysia, South Africa, Kenya, Zimbabwe, London, the USA, we all have that need to be loved and valued. And so tonight, With that introduction and with that announcement, I am delighted to introduce this very special lady. She is a Proverbs 31 woman. I tell you, everything she touches blossoms and flourishes, but she is I don't even know how to describe her. She, being around her, you feel very energized, and I mean, you just cannot be depressed around her. She's full of life. She's a very successful businesswoman, a wife, a mother, a minister of the gospel, a speaker, an anointed marriage counselor. We've been longtime family friends, but you know how life gets so busy. But we reconnected again. There was a bridal shower last August here in Dallas in the Zambian community, and she was the matron of honor. I tell you, she just blew the roof off. I mean, the ladies were going absolutely bananas, but bananas in a good way, because the advice was just off the chain, phenomenal, real. Even people like us who've been married for, this is going to be the 22nd year. I mean, I went away very refreshed, enlightened, excited about my marriage, and this is what Mrs. Sylvia Litana Robertson brings to the table. She's affectionately known as Auntie Sylvia. So we want to welcome Auntie Sylvia to Solutions tonight. Are you on the radio this evening?
Yes, I am. Good evening, Pastor Smarka.
Good evening. Oh, my goodness. I'm trying to calm myself down.
It's wonderful to be on your show tonight.
Wow. We are so happy to have you, great lady of God, and we just appreciate who you are and all that you do for so many. I was getting texts and I was being bombarded on Facebook. Oh, we're so excited she's coming on. So a very warm welcome to you.
Thank you so very much. And good morning, good afternoon, whatever part of the world you are at. My name is Sylvia
Litana
Robertson.
Wonderful. And so, you know, there's quite a few people don't know you. And before we get into the heart of love and marriage, just tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're based, what do you do, what don't you do, because you do so many things, just to let our listeners know a little bit about you.
All right. I am a mother of four and a grandmother of four. I have two grandsons, two granddaughters, and I have two sons-in-law. I am a COO. Excuse me. Let me apologize because I've been coughing. So intermittently, you're going to hear me excuse myself when I cough. My apologies for that. I am a chief operations officer for the African Global Super Center, which is an organization that has been in existence for 2 years now. And we are here to facilitate for import and export between Africa and the United States. As most of you know, the United States doesn't take kindly to just bring in anything into this country without being FDA approved and so forth. So we are acting as a link between African exporters to the United States and vice versa. Then I also own a business called AIMS Global Corporation. AIMS Global Corporation deals in metals, gold, diamonds, and whatever else. We deal with exports as well as gum arabic from Africa. I don't know if any of you know what gum arabic is, but it's an emulsifier that is placed in everything that you eat, everything that you touch, the plastics, the glues, the lipsticks, the eyeliners, everything that you have, gum arabic is in there.
Wow.
Then Last but not least, you know, the matron part of being in Zambia, they call me Rana Chimbusa.
Mm-hmm.
Rana Chimbusa, eh? Rana Chimbusa, mwanga lafie. Go fundo mwana kufikapo. Rana Chimbusa means a woman who is wise in life, especially when it comes to marriage and to counseling young men and women, even the older people of my age who, like Pastor Prophetess Walker just said a few minutes ago, we give refresher courses. That does not mean I know everything about marriage, but what I know I share, and I make it so lively that you don't take offense. Even if it offends you, when it comes from me, you accept it and appreciate it. So that's a little bit about me. I live in Maryland, by the way, but I'm a nomad. I'm in Miami right now. I'll be leaving for Texas tomorrow. I should be in PA in a few weeks and probably back to Texas, and I don't know where else.
Wow, Miss, I tell you, that's why I call you Proverbs 31, lady, and that's why I said, what don't you do?
Because... Yes, well, don't forget the ministry part now. I also minister. I also counsel pre-marriage counseling. I do that not from the biblical part of it, but from what I call the walks of life, what life teaches you and what life has taught me, because the pastors and prophetesses like yourself do the biblical part. And what I do is I finish them with the real life now. It's the rock and hard. You're stepping on that cement. You got to feel the cold. Don't tell somebody you're stepping on a warm floor when it's actually cold. I mean, hard is hard and soft is soft.
Mm-hmm. And definitely we need that, because life is real. Challenges happen. So let's get into the nitty-gritty now of our love and marriage. You know, at that bridal shower, I'll say bridal shower because of our listeners, but we call it a kitchen party. What I found so captivating, Auntie Sylvia, is just your passion for marriage. Because, you know, many times I remember when I was getting married, actually the night before I had all these aunties and they were so negative. You know, they were telling things like, you know, make sure you have your little bank account in the corner. I mean, just like, oh my goodness. In fact, the one who really saved me, you know, we just lost Mr. Charles Muyamo. Now he did our wedding video, but his wife, she pulled me aside and she's like, Mwaka, don't mind what these are saying. Marriage is good. It's wonderful. Your husband is your best friend. So that really gave me hope, because I was like, Lord have mercy. I mean, am I entering a prison or a police station? But, and so you reminded me so much of her, Auntie Sylvia, that because you were so excited and, you know, you were talking about cooking for your man and, you know, wake up in the morning, you know, don't have those socks on your head, put on some lip gloss. So tell me, the 21st century generation, is there still hope to have a good, loving, romantic, happy marriage?
You know, there's a lot of hope. It doesn't matter what century you are. So long as God exists and people still pray and we still believe and have the faith that that man is still up there and looking after us, these marriages will continue to exist. Now, let me exonerate myself by saying, when I'm talking about marriage, and my apologies to those who are gay, because I don't know much about being on that other side of life. So when I address what I'm talking about a man and a woman. If there's a female, and male listening, my apologies if anything I say offends you. But like I said, I'm exonerating myself from that because I don't know much about that side of affection and love. I believe it may be the same as a man and a woman, but please forgive me before I start saying what I got to say. In this 21st century, the thing I'm noticing with a lot of a lot of the young couples, even the old couples, the first thing that I have noticed mainly, even for myself, when I was complaining to my partner, I say, how come you don't compliment me anymore? You know, when you're dating, right, the minute that man walks up that door, you've perfumed yourself. The hair is flying from here to kingdom come. Them heels, my goodness, they look like you're climbing a staircase. That little short number, it is so tight you can hardly breathe, but you've been starving yourself for 4 days or 5 days so that man can see the better part of you. And as soon as you walk down those steps, he says, my goodness, you look beautiful. And guess what you feel? You feel so elated. You're like on top of the world. You're like, oh, my goodness. This man notices me, so I am beautiful. But guess what? The minute you get into the house, you stop doing those things as a woman. You wake up in the morning. You have the do-rag on your head. Lord knows when you last washed it. You have this T-shirt that is tattered. It's got holes in it. Maybe even the bottom part, the hem is even out. It's got one sleeve is ripped, and it's probably stained with the dye from your hair or from your makeup or whatever. Nobody knows when you last washed that darn thing. When a man comes to that bed, he wants to see beauty. He wants to smell sweetness. He wants to be looking forward to jumping in those sheets with his woman. But guess what? Some of us don't even wash our sheets unless, you know, somebody says something. You keep those sheets on the bed for a month. Come on, ladies. Come on now. You can't be doing that. when you move into work, are you wearing the same underwear every day? Don't you wash that underwear before you go? Even if you have one, you wash it at night and wear it in the morning, correct? Because you want to smell fresh when you go to the office. If you go to the office smelling nasty, guess what? Your coworkers or your boss or even your kids, if you have kids, will tell you, man, you stink. You need to go back home and take a shower. The same goes for your home. When you're in your house, that house should be immaculate. It should be spotless. And especially more so your bedroom. Here's something my father taught me. May his soul rest in peace. Those of you who don't know who I am, my late father is Joseph Bobley Tana. He was MCC in Zambia during the Kaunda regime, and he was one of the first 11 soccer players on President Kaunda's team. Well, he told me one day, I don't remember, I did something offending towards my grandfather, my mother's father. And he came and he sat me down, and he says, come here. I said, what do you need, sir? He said, no, just sit here. We used to address my father as sir and my mother as ma'am, by the way. So then I sat there, and I'm looking at him, and I'm so scared. I'm like, Lord have mercy. I'm probably going to get slapped. What did I do? And my mind is running at 3,000 miles a minute trying to figure out what I did wrong, because for that to summon you like that, you did something wrong. So he says, did you hear what your grandfather said? I said, mm-hmm. He says, no. You didn't answer me like that. I said, yes, sir. Then he says, you go and do what your grandfather told you after I've told you what I have told you. He says, do you realize that us as men, I'm a man, I'm your father, when we are courting women, when we used to court women, I think it's probably the same today because I noticed that even with my man, he did the same thing with me. He says, the first thing we do when we enter a woman's house, especially if it's the first date, there's two things we observe. One is he's going to ask you, can I please go to your bathroom to wash my hands? Do you know why the men ask us for that? They want to see the nasty. Yeah. If you are nasty, believe me, that man is not going to eat your food because he knows that that toilet is nasty, therefore you are nasty yourself. The second thing they do is when they come out of the toilet, they kind of come and sit down and momentarily, almost like clockwork. Oh, could I please have a drink of water? Or what do you have to drink? And instead of him waiting for you to go get the drink, he says, oh, I'll follow you. Let me help you get the drink. You know what he's doing to you? He's checking out your kitchen, girlfriend. If your kitchen is nasty, guess what? No matter how sweet you look or how juicy you look or how delicious you have topped yourself that day, he's not going to touch you. Because every time he thinks about that nastiness, it's like, uh-uh, nah, no can do. No can do. You know, beauty is not just on the face, on the outside. It starts from your inside. Love me first. Love myself. I got to love Sylvia first before I can love another human being.
Yes.
If I don't love me, then how can I love somebody else on the outside?
Mm.
The first love, the first passion for me is my home, my abode. At the kitchen parties, I'm sure if you remember what I told you, I said there's three places that should not ever be dirty. No matter how sick you are, if you're sick, try and do the best you can and just keep that as, you know, moderately clean, not too, you know, spick and span like when you're okay. One is your bathroom, mm-hmm. because most of us women spend how many minutes in the morning when we're getting ready, Prophetess, about half an hour to 45 minutes, right?
Yes.
The next thing is what, the kitchen, you're making yourself a cup of coffee or making some breakfast, some pancakes, some sausage for your man, yourself, or your family. How much time do you spend in the kitchen? Another 45 minutes to an hour, maybe even 3 hours, depending on the dish that you're making. Last but not least, your bedroom, your bed. A woman should never get off the bed and leave the bed unmade. You know why? Let me tell you something. When we were getting married, I got married in 1980. My late husband passed, may he soul rest in peace. I was married to an athlete. He was an Olympic athlete. He was always in the gym, handsome-looking devil. I missed the heck out of him, but hey, life has dealt me a shorthand, but it is what it is. Mm. When you have a husband that is in, and that man was in love with me, no doubt, and I know I was in love with my husband too. It used to happen in a way that if the bed is not made, he'll just be looking at me and say, are you going to stay in bed all day? And I look at him and I say, what the hell's your problem? I mean, what the heck is your problem? I'm laying down, it's my bed, it's our bed, you want to get up, you go. But then I realized something, that men are different. There are some men who love to make love in the morning. There's some men who like to make love just before you sleep. There's some men who wake you up at 3, 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, guess what? As a woman, you have to be an energizer bunny. You always have to have that ever-ready switch. This business of I have a headache, I have a toothache, I have a backache, the children, this, the children, you need to stop that, you ladies. You know why? The minute you start making those excuses, that sweet little boy of yours is going to look for a sugar mama like me who's forever ready. because the minute he calls me, I'm going to say, sugar, come on now. You know, come on. I'll cook you some chicken. Come on, boy. I'll take care of you. If I bring your laundry too and I'll do your laundry and I'll iron it for you. Now, if a man leaves you for a sugar mama like myself, do you think Chris is going to come back to you? No, he's not. Because I'm going to make sure that I spoil the living daylights out of that boy. That every moment of the day when he's gone, he's going to be thinking about me. And this is what girlfriends do. For those of us who are married, make that bed. When that bed is made in the morning when you wake up, that man will come for seconds because that bed looks appetizing. It's clean. It's nice. It's presentable. A lot of you complain, oh, he hasn't touched me for many months. Oh, I'm cheating. The other day, I think he was looking at a text message because as soon as he saw me come, he deleted it. No, he didn't delete it. He was telling his buddy what a nasty wife you are. He was not talking to him. He was complaining to his friend. Now, you women out there, you want to hang on to these men? Let's start making a few adjustments and a few changes. You may call me old-fashioned, but guess what? Since I've been in the U.S., I've married off 380 women. Not a single one of them have divorced.
Wow.
Not a single one has divorced. And I lift my hand up to God, no lie. Because when they have issues, I have told these brides, do not call mama, do not call your sister, do not call your best friend, do not even call your pastor. Call me first. I put you in that way of marriage. I prepared you, therefore I know how to follow you and how to monitor you and how to coach you as we're going. Now, the minute you bring in a second or third person, guess what happens? You get confused because the advice they're giving you is different from what I have given you.
Right.
I am living proof because I have done it. I have four daughters, by the way. Two of them have been married. My firstborn daughter is married to a major in Texas, in Dalton, Texas. My thirdborn is married to a Korean man. They live in Maryland. My lastborn has a baby girl with a Ghanaian man. I'm not bragging to say my children are perfect now, but we have to adhere to certain customs and certain traditions. And there's certain things that we cannot negate because we are in the 21st century. 21st century, my foot. It's 21st century. If you keep, you know, doing things reversed from what I've told you, believe me, you'll never keep a man in your life. A lot of people have asked me and say, Mama, how come is it that you're always so happy? I've never seen you miserable. I've never seen you sad. Why are you always happy? Even when you've lost your job, you don't have a job. You don't have a home. You don't have a car. You don't have food. You don't have money. You're still happy, Mama. I say, you know what? The first thing is I love me first. Why am I going to be miserable for? I'm living. My heart is pounding. My blood is running. God has given me beautiful children, beautiful friends, brothers and sisters. There are people in the morning who didn't wake up the same way I did. They're dead. Yeah. There are people in homes right now who cannot even lift a finger. They have to be tossed and turned and fed with tubes. And why am I going to be suffering and complaining? For what? I am happy because I love me. Okay, no. Let me reverse that. I love God first, then me second. But on this earth, I love me first. That's how I put it. And for as long as you love you first, guess what? You will never feel miserable in life. The misery will come, but you're going to look at it and say, oh, let it just bounce off my shoulder. It's another day passed. Let's continue. Because the minute you start harboring misery, guess what? If you're married or in a relationship, you know what you do? You go take it out on your spouse or on your boyfriend or on your girlfriend. And then the other party is wondering, what did I do wrong? I just tried to kiss her, or I tried to kiss him and he pushed me away. Don't carry that baggage, both men and women. You can't do that. Always ask yourself, what if she did that or said that to me? How would I feel? Before you open your mouth, give yourself that self-assessment. Do unto others the same way you would feel hurt if she said or he said that to you. Stop yourself. In Lumba, we say, meaning, get a glass of water, hold the water in your mouth, and don't say a word. It's not going to kill you because you won't offend your partner. But the minute you start running your mouth because you want to take your frustrations out, guess what? That man picks up his jacket and he says, see ya, and he's gone. Now, many a times as women, we always assume because he's walked out, he's going to see another woman. Uh-uh. Nepala. It is not the case. Most men, when they leave you because you're nagging, you're talking too much, you're giving him a headache, you probably haven't even cooked for this man in years, you probably haven't even let this man touch you for weeks or for months or for days or for years, you haven't even, I mean, you probably don't even know what the man smells like anymore. these men go to vent out to their friends. It's very, very rare that he will leave right away to go to a girlfriend. Now, this also, because of going to their friends will be advising them wrongly and say, leave her. I know a girl by the name of Sylvia. You know, she can take care of you. She's cultured, but she's really nice. She's cool people. And guess what? For real. Because you are not changing at home. You are still nagging. You're still not cooking. You're still not doing what you're supposed to do as a wife. I'm not saying you become a slave. No, I'm not saying you become a servant. No. It should be an equal partnership. But guess what? Us women spend more time at home. I'm an executive, but guess what? The first thing I do, I serve my men on my knees because that's my culture. The first day I served my man on my knees, he was so shocked. He looks at me and he says, what? He almost dropped the plate. I said, what's the problem? He says, an executive on her knees? I said, executive in the office. In this house, I'm not.
Wow.
He took that plate, put it down, got off the chair, picked me up, and kissed me. He took his wallet and he says, take whatever is inside there.
Oh my God! Hold on, Auntie Silver. I need to just.
I'm serious.
Oh. Wow. So
yes.
Okay. So dwell on that point because you know now we are in a generation where many women are very educated, professional, corporate, and they find it so difficult to switch the hats when they get home. You know, some find it demeaning. You know, like now in cultures where they don't kneel, like say Kenya, Swaziland, South Africa, they don't kneel. Zambia, Uganda, we do. So, you know, it comes easy. So
no, Kenyans, I used to have some Kenyan friends of mine. I think I married off two of them. No, one was Tanzanian. One was Kenyan, one was Tanzanian. She had told, I don't remember her tribe, she told me too that they knelt because what I did is, you know how I do at the kitchen parties when I demonstrate or when I do a little vignette to explain to the ladies this is how things are done. When I did that, she started screaming. She says, oh my God, I haven't seen this since my village. I left my village 20-something years ago. I'm like, what do you mean you haven't done this? Don't you do it? She says, no, because it looks like it's, primitive. I told her, I said, you know what, bring that primitivity into your house. If that primitivity is practiced in that house, believe me, you'll never have an issue with that man because the man knows you honor him. Now, we're talking about the corporate world. Mm-hmm. When God created us as women, right, he made us as Eve, number one, as an Eve. Each of us is an Eve. From being an Eve, those that were blessed with a husband. You became the rib of Adam. After being a wife, what happened? The babies came along. When the babies came along, guess what? You became a wife instantly, you became a mother, and you became your own friend, first of all. When you have those children, you have to balance between your children and your husband. And that's a very difficult thing to do. It's extremely, extremely difficult, and I'm going to tell you that. Because once a baby is born, what the women do, including myself, I did that, and my husband had to check me out on that. He says, you spend more time with the baby than you do me, and it's true, I did. I will not even let him touch his own child. No, you might break her hand. Oh, no, you're too strong because you don't hold her properly. Oh, no. But you forget that's the father of the child. What do you mean I'm going to break her hand? I am her father. Okay, we got over that hurdle. Next thing is I'm in the office. I'm working. Now, there's work. No. First of all, in the right order, there's being a wife first, being a mother, and then you're a corporatician, like I call it. When you're in the office, yes, you are Miss CEO, COO, Vice President, President, whatever they call you out there, fine. Wear that hat and wear it proudly. I'm not going to put anybody down because I'm one of you. When I come home, you know, almost every doorstep that I have seen everywhere in the world I've gone has a mat, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we put those mats on those doors? When you walk into your house and you see that mat, you wipe your feet off. You know what you're doing when you're wiping your feet off? You're leaving your office crap right there on that rug. Don't bring it into the house.
Mm.
When you're leaving the next day, pick it up from that same rug and take it to the office with you. In that house, your husband does not know you as COO. Yeah, he knows my title at the office. That is true. In that house, I'm expected to do my wifely duties. First of all, I'm a wife. When I get home, hi, honey, it doesn't matter how bad a day I had. That is my partner. That is my love. That is my sweetheart. That's my all, my father, my whatever you want to call him.
Mm.
after that, I'm a mom. When the babies come, don't be pushing, oh, I had a bad day at work and blah, 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 blah. You know what happens when you discommunicate your children like that? That's when the kids become dysfunctional. They become unruly because they're not getting the love that they need. And especially if you have daughters, they start looking for men outside the house to show them that love and that affection. Mothers, mm-hmm. take time for your children. Stop and listen. Because the minute you shoo your daughter or your son, oh, no, 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 I'll see you in 20 minutes. 20 minutes comes, oh, no, 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 I have to do this. Put yourself in that child's position. If the time you were growing up, your mother did that, would you be a corporatician today? No, you wouldn't. Because your guide from your parents is what made you who you are today.
Mm-hmm.
We need to sit down, even 10 minutes, just call the kids around you, no matter how tired you are. Just call this kid, so-and-so, A, B, C, D, come on, mommy wants a hug. You know what I do now? I have 4 grandkids. That's what I do. I don't have the energy to chase them, but I still run around with them. I'll sit on the floor and I say, come on, let's play with grandma. Just at 5, 6, 10 minutes, they're so happy. I mean, they go tell their friends, oh, guess what? Grandma gave me a horseback ride. Grandma did that. It's fun for them, but it was less than 5 minutes.
Wow.
But guess what? It goes a long way. It's a lifetime of memory for those children. Now, imagine if my grandkids run to me and, oh, grandma's tired, you know, I'm going to see you in a few minutes. How will they feel every time I visit? They won't want to see me.
Exactly.
They will feel shunned and abandoned. Now, this corporate life that we're bringing into the homes is not going to build your home. It's going to destroy your home.
Hmm.
I'm not saying it's easy to balance, but I do it. I have done it. I have lived it. I'm still doing it. I have a man in my life, yes, full time. God help me. He proposed. I say yes, and, you know, things go the way they should go. But I'm putting everything on hold because I have things I have to accomplish before I finally walk down that aisle if I have to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for you sisters out there, like I said earlier on, I don't know it all, but I'm going to tell you what I know. Because I live it, I do it every day. I talk to the young ladies and the older ladies too, even some grandmothers.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of a kitchen party I did in D.C. This girl was from, she was from Nigeria. My cousin invited me and said that she wanted me to come and witness a Nigerian kitchen party. And, of course, I've never been to one. I said, okay, not a problem. So we packed our gifts. You know, I think I bought a dinner set. My cousin must have bought her some pots. And I think we added some glasses and I think a comforter set. When we got there, guess what they asked us? It's not a wedding. We only bring this to weddings. I said, uh-uh. What do you mean to weddings? So what's going on at the kitchen party? You know what we did at the kitchen party? They served us some drinks. They served us some hors d'oeuvres. And they brought us, I think, 7, 8 lingeries and sexy negligees, which, of course, is nothing wrong with that. It's absolutely wonderful for every woman to have one of those little numbers. Because you have a special Wednesday when, you know, your man, you know, works half day and he comes home early. They got to get yourself prepped up and get ready. And you'll be looking good and smelling sweet so that when he comes in, you're appetizing. So I said, all right. So what have you guys taught this girl? She says, oh, no, nothing. I mean, we just told her she's got to wear these and she's got to do this. I said, no, wait a minute. What I'm asking is, you're saying she's getting married. So what preparations have you guys made for her to usher her into this marriage? Then the pastor's wife looks at me and she says, madam, we don't know what you're talking about. I said, are you serious? She said, yes. I said, with all due respect, pastor and mama pastor, can I have just 10 minutes with this girl, please? Why do you want to take her by herself? Then my cousin says, ma'am, it's for her own good. In fact, if you want to come downstairs with us in the basement, the men can't see because all the men wanted to see. She says, no, men can't come, but if all the women want to come, they can come. She was so apathetic. I can't come. You're young enough to be my own daughter. Blah, blah, blah. She just went off on me. I said, ma'am, like I said, with all due respect, I asked for forgiveness. Can I just have 10 minutes? I took that lady down with seven of the other women. Everybody else was like pulling their faces and their noses at me. That's fine. I'm used to that. We went in the basement. We got one little drum. I told them, give me a chitenge, a wrapper. Now, you know how we do it, huh? I started teaching her. Those women, there were 3 pastors' wives. They burst into tears. We have never seen anything like this in our lives. We don't even know things like this exist.
Teach us.
The bride herself was beside herself. She just couldn't even move. She was just sitting there looking at me with her mouth dropped. You move like you have no bones. There are certain things that we teach these young ladies that you have to do in the bedroom to keep that man happy, to keep that man occupied and satisfied all the time. It's not every day that is Christmas, of course. Yeah, some days, you know, you give him a 2-3 minute attention, but most of the time, 95% of the time, you better be there to 10,000%. So I say this to share, because if we want our men to take care of us, guess what? We need to take care of them first. Mm-hmm. Men are like, and I know I'm going to get a whole lot of phone calls back, but men are like 5-year-olds. I'm saying it. Call me men and cuss me out. That's okay, but that's how you are. And that's why we treat you the way we treat you, are like our babies. We are mothers. We are your mothers. We nurture you. So mothers out there, women who are about to get married, those who are already married and those in marriages, stop sharing your marital problems with your friends. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. You know why? The same friends that you're telling your marital problems to, you know what they do? Two things happen. One, if you tell friend A, oh, this is just between you and I don't want anybody to know, well, I'm suspecting that my husband is doing this. In fact, yesterday I didn't even let him touch me. And then next week I'm doing this, I'm going to sleep with so-and-so because I believe he's sleeping with so-and-so. You know, it's going to sell you out. That's thing number one, number A. She's going to go tell B. By the time B hears the story, it's 10 times when she's telling everybody you're sleeping with 4 or 5 other men. Okay. And that same A that you told the story to, when your man or your husband dumps you, guess what? She'll be the next missus in that same house that you left. And that's the gospel truth.
If you have just tuned in case you have just called the Solutions with our very special guest, Auntie Sylvia Litana Robertson from the beautiful Maryland, I tell you, she is keeping it real, not holding back. I know you are sitting at the edge of your seats with all this great wisdom and counsel, and we're going to give you an opportunity to ask some questions. But let me ask you, Auntie Sylvia, you know, our culture tends to emphasize so much on the woman's role.
On the women, yes.
Right, and I do believe it's very important. We definitely, where the atmosphere changes, I mean, we do make it happen. But what is the role, especially now living abroad, and there are no maids to help clean, to help with babies. So what is the role of the man to make the marriage sweet and wonderful?
Like I said, when you take care of your man, he reciprocates and takes care of you. The man only treats you the way you treat him most of the time. Not all the time, about almost, I mean, 60% of the time. And I say this because I've been married once, and I'm probably going to go into a second one right now. And I'm saying that based upon, excuse me. I'm saying that based upon my personal experience and the people that I have counseled that have, you know, gone before me and things like that. Now, when you come to the Western world, it's true, it's very challenging. As a matter of fact, I'm glad you asked me this question. I remember one time in Baltimore, I was invited to go to a church. I can't remember the name of the church. And one of the gentlemen walked up to me and says, Bamayo. Bamayo means mom. I said, yeah. I says, can I please ask you a question? I said, sure. I said, is it something that is private? Do you want us to walk outside? He goes, yeah, please. You know, can you give me 5 minutes of your time? I said, sure. He says, why is it that when we are getting married, you only counsel the women and not the men? So who's supposed to teach us? How do we know to reciprocate what you have taught the women? Because we don't know what you teach them, and we don't know how to respond to what you teach them towards us. Mm. You know, I sat down for a minute, and I'm like, Lord, have mercy. You know what? You hit the nail on the head. And that weekend, what I used to do is I used to call couples. I used to call it couples getaway weekend. And I'd make every man bring flowers to for his wife.
Wow.
Then each couple would write a problem that they have in their home, and they would drop it in a basket sitting by me. I would stand by the door. Whether you've got a problem or not, you still had to throw a piece of paper in the basket because I didn't want people to know who dropped what and who said what. Then I would read those issues to them. And then if somebody was able to answer because they've gone through it, they would answer. If not, then I would do the counsel. So after that session, I said, you know what? The counseling for me from now on has to be both men and women. And this is why when a woman calls me and says, well, my husband did this, I need to talk to you. I say, no. Both of you have to come and see me. I'm not seeing you alone and I'm not seeing him alone. And I mean it. I don't see one-on-one. Both of you have to be there for me to counsel you. The reason I prefer that is because when you are talking about yourself, you embellish the truth.
Mm.
You have a tendency to embellish the truth because you want your husband to look so bad so that when Auntie Sylvia gets him, she can give him the worst whipping she can, you know, in life. And vice versa, the man too does the same thing. So when I have both of you in front of me, you can't lie because she's sitting in there and he's sitting with you there. So with this moving world, with this modernity, the way I look at it is this way. Like I always give myself an example. When I was married to David, David helped me with everything else. He cooked a lot. He cleaned a lot. He babysat a lot. Because he had a wife who was a social butterfly. I was a social butterfly and still am. Believe it or not, I would go clubbing. I would go partying. And my husband would tell me, just go, you know, I'll stay with the kids. He wasn't a person who liked to go out. He was a scholar. All he did was just read the library, his children, lunch here, dinner, movie, and things like that. So for me, really, it wasn't a challenge at all because everything that I wanted out of the marriage was given to me on a silver platter, so to speak. Now, for those of you who are not as fortunate or who don't have what I had, my advice to you is this. Communication is very important in a relationship.
Yes.
If you don't tell your spouse how tiring it is for you to babysit or to be with the kids right after work, he doesn't know. Because as far as he's concerned, you gave birth to them, so you know better what their needs are than he does, and 90% of the time that is true. But as a woman, as a corporatician, like I say, as a woman, sometimes you say, listen, I need some me time.
Okay?
I get tired of being a wife. I get tired of being a mother. I get tired of being a grandmother. I mean, whatever the hat you wear, CEO, CO, whatever. You just tell your husband every Wednesday between, not Wednesday, it's during the week, like Saturday, between 10 and 3, can you just please take the kids somewhere?
Mm.
The husband, too, needs his me time. He'll tell you, okay, since we go to church on Sundays, right after church on Sunday, can I go to my friend John's house for 4 hours? That's his me time. And believe it or not, as God is my witness, that works very splendidly because by the time you come back with a fresh anointing. There's a freshness in you. You're eager to see your partner. You're eager to see your husband. You want him to see you. You want to touch him. You want, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're together 24/7, I'm not saying it's wrong either. It is. It's a perfect thing. It's wonderful. But guess what? When there's a saying in Lumba which says, "Imitigula pamateriko kwesana," meaning when two trees grow close to each other, when they grow to be giant trees, their branches are going to intermingle with one another, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when the wind blows, they're going to hit each other, and there's nothing they can do about it because that's the way they've been created. It's the same thing with the husband and the wife in the house. You are going to brush against one another regardless of how perfect or how imperfect your marriage is. But take that time out to communicate with your love. Honey, we need to talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know that Auntie Sylvia has a counseling session every Wednesday from 5 until 9. Is it okay if I use that as my me time? Because that's very nurturing for me. I enjoy listening to what she says. Is it okay for me to go? I don't think your husband's going to tell you no because he knows you're building your house. It's for the betterment of you two. But if every time you come and you say, I want to go clubbing, I don't think the husbands will want the wives to be clubbing like that or the wives want the husband to be clubbing. If you're going to club, go together.
All right.
Ask your husband, let's do date night. You know, my daughter and my son-in-law taught me something. My son-in-law, when I went there, he says, Mama, Friday night is family night and then Saturday is date night for me and my wife. Can you please watch the kids?
Wow.
And you know what date night is for them? They just lock themselves in the room. I take all my grandkids. Either I go out with them or they come and sleep in my room. We all have a sleepover in grandma's room. They have an in-law suite. They have a beautiful home that they built.
Wow.
Then Sunday is church day for everybody. So everybody goes to church, and after church they always cook. Then, you know, everybody eats just like the way we did it when you came to your church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my son-in-law even tells me and says, Mom, this strengthens our marriage. It strengthens our love.
Wow.
And I believe it because I see it with my own eyes. When I see them sitting there, it's like they were married yesterday, but they've been married for 10 years. Even though I'm a manachimbusa, I also learn things on a daily basis. I look, I observe, I listen. I'm a very good listener, by the way.
So for
those corporate women, don't put your marriage on the side because somebody else will service your spouse. Ooh.
And that's possible too. I'm not going to mince my words about this. And I'm going to repeat myself. Corporaticians, you females out there like myself, take care of your business at home. Otherwise, sugar mamas like Auntie Sil will be out there servicing sugar boys.
Auntie Silva, we have a call. Somebody has a burning question for Auntie Sylvia.
I'm listening.
Welcome, caller.
Okay, thank you very much, Auntie Sylvia. It's just wonderful listening to you. I could just listen
thank
to you on and on and on and on, but we have a caller, area code 816. Your last four digits are 1245. You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Pastor Mwaka. This is Matilda Lucas in Kansas City.
Well,
and you're right, I have an itching question to ask Auntie Sylvia.
I'm listening.
I've been married 13 years, and I've had an opportunity to minister to other married women, soon-to-be married women. But there's someone that I don't know how to give that advice to. She's married, 3 children. And, of course, there's that she's a working mother and all that. That communication you're talking about, at first was difficult because you'd use anger and all kinds of bad communication skills. But she's learned to humble herself and talk to effectively communicate with her husband to say, honey, I need your help. However, that communication is not going through. What would your advice be for a person who has step down and say, I'm going to submit. I'll be quiet about my ways. I'm going to ask you properly and often to help, and you're not getting the response from your husband. Thank you.
Let me just repeat the question. The question is, the woman has humbled herself and has been submissive to the husband to try to communicate, but the husband is not being non-responsive, correct?
Yes, correct.
Yes, all right. Here's what I'll tell you. Excuse me. In circumstances or in issues like this, what we used to do when we were back home is, Pastor Marka, you know what Insaka is, right?
Yes.
Okay. We don't have Insakas here in the United States. So what I would personally suggest is your husband a friend of that lady's husband?
Yes, he is.
They're very good friends,
and
right?
And they have spoken. They are friends, and they have spoken, and we have enough Zambians here to try and create that Saka kind of feel.
Yes.
So advice has been given, and even some people from home have traveled and spoken. But it's
let me ask you a question. You may not know the answer, but let me ask you a question before I finally give you the advice. Are you sure this man still loves his wife?
I cannot answer that one.
If we can't answer that, then I can't give you an answer. But if the answer was yes,
I would say yes, because as an outside looking in, I would say yes. But I don't know what else is going on inside, and I'm only given so much information.
There's a saying in Lumba which says, "Nkumbiro mutenge, no chifiri mukati," meaning when you admire my house, you admire it from the outside because you don't know what's inside, just like you rightly said. With this man here, the best thing that I can advise, if he's a Christian, this to me sounds more like it's a spiritual issue. You may want to include the people of the cloth, because when the men and women of the cloth come in, we always look to finding a solution, and most of us always run to saying a person has demon, a person is possessed, and need deliverance. First of all, you have to ask questions from that person. Find a pastor. If I don't go to his church, tell the wife not to go to their church pastor. Find another pastor who doesn't know them. In this day and age, you can call up any pastor and solicit for advice or for prayer. It's not like how it used to be where you have to be dedicated to your pastor. And the reason I say this is because I'm speaking to you as a woman of God as well. I'm feeling something in the spirit that is very troubling. I can't really put my finger on it. So I'm suggesting to you that you tell the wife, that since she's your friend, and you tell your husband to tell him to say, why don't we seek a spiritual counsel? Now, don't make him feel like there's something wrong with him, because then you'll be apathetic and he won't go. He's going to tell you, Shilea, you go by yourself. But mm-hmm. put it in a way, or better yet, here's a better way. You invite the pastors to your house and invite them for dinner. Invite that couple for dinner to your house.
Okay. Okay.
That right. puts it in such a way that he doesn't feel set up. He doesn't feel like, you know, Mwankunga, you're ganging up on me, so to speak. It will feel like, okay, you know, the pastor came and, you know, we also decided. But tell the wife to make sure that he just comes, you know, like you guys are visiting, they're visiting you together. They should not tell him the pastor's there. Then you just introduce him to the pastor. You know, just start talking about marriage, you know, your life. You guys start the topic so that also him, he'll engage. This, you'll see that he'll open up. There is more to this than meets the eye. There's some things that the lady has done that has made this man very upset. There's some yes. things that have happened in this relationship that are deeper than the roots of a tree. And unless this is spiritually dealt with, where the men and women of God go and dig those roots, nothing is going to change. Trust me. It'll just be batting your heads against a wall.
I agree.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You've touched on a lot of key things. But the only thing that we didn't do, we did the reverse of what you said. We went to their house, and, of course, we were met with hostility because it felt like a gang up.
Absolutely.
So we had to step out and just say, okay, baby steps. But mostly encouraging the wife, only that she feels frustrated, like, how about him? You know, he also needs that kind of counsel, where I'm getting most of the counsel as a woman, and he's not getting as much as I am.
And that is, that's why I suggested that, because what you said with you going to his house is wrong, because you guys are infringing on his territory, you're infringing on his rights. Remember, the United States is very litigious. It's a country full of rights.
Mm-hmm.
But when you change the soccer tournament and bring it into your court and invite him to that tournament, believe me, the reception will be different. He'll probably be even the one to be saying, after all, she did this. Hey, my wife did this. This is when they come out, because I've dealt with this before, I think two or three occasions now. He'll be more open to talking, because he won't feel like they've ganged up on me or they've trapped me, because he felt trapped when he went to his house. You guys were infringing on his space.
All right.
Thank you so much, Auntie Sylvia. Nainena Sambilila. Thank you.
Anytime. God bless you. You guys can call me anytime. I'm going to give you my phone number. You know, I fly anywhere where you guys need me to counsel. If you get 20, 30, 40 people together, I, you know, fly in. I speak to you people. You ask me questions. I do that in Baltimore now. I did it when I went to Chicago in August when I had a wedding. I did the same thing when I went to Texas. Some ladies came by with their husbands. They wanted to, you know, speak to me. Just the same questions, almost like what you asked me. I'm here for you guys.
Absolutely, yes. That would be great. I'll contact Pastor Mwaka for your number, or you can share it.
I will.
Can arrange.
I will at the end of the show. I'll give you my numbers.
Thank
yes,
you.
Beautiful. We have about 3 more minutes. Thank you so much, Mrs. Lucas, for calling in and for being part of the show. And very well spoken, Auntie Sylvia. Do we have another question? And Auntie Sylvia would really love a part two. The show is just 1 hour. But there's something you touched on about loving oneself. And you find that so many women, that's really such a big issue. You know, the blondes want to be brunettes. The brunettes wish they had dark hair, long hair, wish they had short
yes.
hair. Size 8 are too skinny. Size 14 are too big. I mean, you never find a woman who is just, you know, content. And, you know, that insecurity really brings a lot of trouble in marriage,
mm-hmm.
but I'd love us to deal with that next Tuesday, because that's a whole another can of worms. But Shiko, do we have another question for our dear Auntie Sylvia?
It'll be my pleasure next Tuesday if you all still need me to come on. That's what God has ordained us to do.
Wow, awesome. Thank you so much. But we want to take another question in the remaining few minutes. Shiko,
okay.
Do we have another caller?
No, we don't have another caller right now.
Do we have any questions? Sometimes people send us on Facebook. Sometimes Shiko, our administrator, has questions.
Oh, I don't have any questions today. Everybody is just like amazed. They are texting me and writing to me on Facebook and just saying, wow, she is something. Oh, I'm enjoying the show. So I think people are in so much awe. They don't have questions. They're just enjoying and loving Auntie Sylvia.
Well, Thank you. Well, that's what I'm here for. Like I said, you guys can get me on 301-728-9938. 301-728-9938. Like I said, I'm a traveling nomad, but somebody nicknamed me a womad yesterday since I'm a woman. I'm never in one place, but I'm here to serve. You guys need me to come and do kitchen parties, council, just give me a call. It'll be my pleasure. But I'm booked way in advance, by the way. My calendar is usually very full, so call me and give me way enough notice.
You know, I love your passion and your zeal. And, you know, I love that old fashion. You know, the fact, despite the fact that you've lived abroad for so many years, come from a very upscale family, but I love that being old fashioned, because I think sometimes some of these new trends are what are getting many marriages in trouble. You know, everybody wants to wear their pants. Nobody wants to serve. Nobody wants to humble themselves. But I love the fact that you love being a woman, love being a wife, love being a mother, love cooking, you know, love the bedroom stuff. I mean, that is awesome. So what are your closing remarks for our wonderful Solutions family who are mesmerized by you, so mesmerized that they have no questions, and they're going to text us all night instead?
Well, to all my our listeners today, it's been wonderful talking to everybody. You see, a lot of times the people ask me and say, why am I so bold? God gave me the boldness because I'm not afraid of anything or anybody except God himself. And for those of you who have any questions or issues or concerns, if you don't want to come on air, please feel free to get in touch with Prophetess Mwaka. She's a dynamic, awesome prophetess. So those of you who want to get a hold of me, she knows how. I will be in Texas tomorrow. I'm flying to Dallas tomorrow. I think I'll be in Dallas for a week. And then I'll be flying to, I think, Belton for 2 weeks, Austin 2 weeks, and probably back to Dallas. So for those of you who want to get in touch with me, if I'm in Dallas, Texas, Pastor Mwaka has my contact. She knows how to get a hold of me. And please, women, learn to be submissive to your husbands. I'm not saying be a slave or a servant. There's a difference now. Be nice, be sweet, so that the men will reciprocate in kind. Get out of that bed in the morning before your husband does. Brush your teeth, wash your face, wash down there under the armpit. Put some nice little smelly stuff and come in strutting and say, hi, honey, bend over. Make sure that that nightgown is real nice, sweet, and short, not that nasty T-shirt. God bless you all. I love you. Until the next time, God bless you all.
We love you, Auntie Sylvia. I appreciate you, and we'll definitely see you this coming week in Dallas. Excited that you'll be here, and we will maximize the moment. Thank you for pouring into us. Thank you, Solutions Family. Tune in next Tuesday, same time. Tell everybody that Auntie Sylvia is coming back for part two. She keeps it real, relevant, doesn't hold back. We are so blessed and enriched tonight. God bless you all. Thank you once again, Auntie Sylvia. You're a blessing.
Thank you. God bless you. You're a blessing, too. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. And your assistant is awesome.
Oh, thank you.